Most adolescents struggle to find their own identities. And as a black, white, and Jewish teenager in the 80s, Rebecca Walker was no exception. The daughter of the famous African-American writer Alice Walker, Rebecca's teen years were spent moving between her white Jewish father's East Coast summer camps and her mother's West Coast ultra-liberal feminist world. With her mother, Rebecca had the kind of freedom most teenagers dream about. But for Rebecca, that freedom was mostly frightening and led to her eventual estrangement from her mother. She told Steve Paulson that writing about becoming a mother herself in her memoir Baby Love helped her sort through her feelings on feminism, raising a child, and growing up.
Finding my identity, so to speak, didn't really happen until my, I would say my early 20s, mid-20s, I started to feel more comfortable with myself in my skin. And I think a lot of what was difficult is that I grew up moving back and forth between very different worlds. As a mixed race person whose parents met in the civil rights movement, one a nice Jewish lawyer from Brooklyn, my mother an African American from the Deep South. When they were married, it was wonderful, but when they divorced when I was 8, I ended up moving back and forth, and so I felt that I had multiple identities. I was sort of suburban, white, upper class on the East Coast, and Afro artist on the West Coast. I mean, I really had to struggle with finding a stable ground.
And from what I've read, your parents had a very strange joint custody agreement where you would spend 2 years with one parent and then 2 years with the other parent.
Yes, very strange. I think they were thinking it was this perfect egalitarian plan. But yes, I had to move back and forth every 2 years. And what happened within that is that my parents actually moved even while I was with them, each of them in those 2 years. So I ended up going to a different school every year, which meant that my identity in a single location was not able to gel. So every time I moved, I actually moved into a different, not just racial or regional environment, but also socioeconomic environment and cultural environment. So I was constantly assessing what the dynamic was and what was expected of me in terms of being socially successful and morphing or changing to fit in, really.
Well, and your parents also gave you a lot of freedom as a teenager. You've written about how you started having sex at the age of 13. You took drugs as well. How do you look back on those years?
I look back on those years, especially as a mother now, with some sadness. You know, my parents were very busy working, and they had, I think my mother in particular, was a part of a larger movement that really saw encouraging young people's independence and autonomy as a good thing. And she saw us and really talked about us as being more like sisters than mother and daughter. And what that ideology yielded was a lot of expectation put on me to be much more mature than I actually was. So looking back now, I feel sadness that I had to perform this very mature self that didn't exist. And if I could do it all over again, obviously, I wouldn't have made the choices that I made as a result of being put in those positions. I think I was way too young to be asked to take care of myself so much.
Were there any ways in which all this freedom made you stronger?
Now, you know, as an adult, I think to be quite honest, I think I have often convinced myself that a lot of those freedoms yielded benefits. But now, as I really think about how much it takes to be a parent, and I look at my son, and I really try to recognize how much he needs, I'm not as convinced that it was ultimately a good thing.
What I find so striking about your story is, in many ways, you had the opposite life of what so many, let's say, suburban teenagers would love. I mean, they'd love to have their parents just basically leave them alone so they could stay out late, they could bring over boyfriends. Did you ever wish you had the opposite life when you were that age, a more average suburban American adolescence?
Well, you know, I think so many of us in my generation looked at the Brady Bunch and thought, oh, how wonderful. I mean, there was a kind of idealization of that family and a lot of television families in which problems were glossed over and potential conflicts were minimized. But I can't say that, well, no, yeah, you know, I did. I wanted, you know, a stable family. I wasn't enamored of the way I was growing up. No, I didn't think, oh, how cool, my best friend wants to invite all of her older friends over to drink beer and throw up off the side of the balcony and, you know, make out when my mother wasn't home. No, I didn't think that was cool. That felt like an awful lot of pressure for me because I really was aware that I was doing something wrong. I was aware that I didn't know how to say no to what was being presented. I was aware that I was uncomfortable because I wasn't really friends with the people that I was engaging with because I had, in any given place, I'd only known people for, you know, a few months, you know, 6 or 7 months at the most because I was constantly moving. So there was a lot of stress involved in that life. So no, I can't say that I enjoyed the level of freedom that I was given. I actually felt a tremendous dis-ease with what was going on.
Hmm. Your mother is, of course, Alice Walker, the famous writer and feminist icon. And in recent years, you have written about how you've come to question some of her feminist principles. Do you think she was misguided in the way she raised you?
Well, I think she was really, you know, trying to do the best she could. And I think that feminism at that point was about empowering girls and young women to feel confident sexually, to be more autonomous and independent. And so I think that she was following that program. And yes, I think that looking back, that agenda or that point of view was not the healthiest point of view for me as a young girl. And I know many of my peers who were raised similarly had the same kinds of experiences and feel similarly now. That this idea that young women and girls had been coddled and overprotected and that if just given the right information that they would be able to be fully realized or fully responsible or, you know, strong, you know, Amazons in training. But the reality was that there was not quite an understanding of what we needed psychologically that transcended ideology. You know, ideology, it can only get you so far, but the human needs of psycho-emotional development are the same no matter what ideological background you come from. And so to miss that understanding is to put your child, I think, in a very difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then a few years ago, you yourself became a mother, and you've written about how that whole experience has changed the relationship with your mother. Can you tell me what happened when you first told your mother that you were pregnant?
Well, yes. My mother and I had a lot of differing opinions about motherhood, but I think what a lot of people don't realize about that book is that the real breakdown in that book, you know, the real breakdown in my relationship with my mother is a result of the memoir that I wrote, Black, White, and Jewish, about growing up and all the things that we were just talking about. So the book about being left alone and the book about all of the sexual exploration and the doing drugs and the fact that I wrote about that was very upsetting to her. And so we ended up having a real break in our relationship while I was pregnant about her feelings about my writing that book.
Do you have any contact with your mother now?
No, we have no contact at all, no.
Wow. What do you think is the most important feminist message you'll try to pass on to your son?
There are several. I think the most important is that there's no right way to be a man, believe it or not. I think, you know, my third book, What Makes a Man, was all about redefining masculinity. And that book was a very feminist book in that I realized that in order for women to be loved and appreciated and understood at the level that they deserve and need, that men would also have to be allowed to evolve out of a kind of, you know, warrior, protector, provider, emotionally stoic way of being. And so, you know, I really want to try to make room for him to be a man who is integrated, who doesn't need to be dominant or in control at all times, who doesn't feel he needs to self-sacrifice in order to be a good man. I want him to have choices and options and to be able to be creative and to be loving and not be thought of as weak. You know, I think that's one of the most important contributions I can make to him as a mother and as someone who has grown up within this language of feminism.
Rebecca Walker is the author of the memoirs Baby Love and Black, White, and Jewish, Autobiography of a Changing Self. She spoke with Steve Paulson.